Tango Tango Papa 1817, January 30th, 2014.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Rolla, Missouri. So I've been back at work, a few days. And so I unloaded this morning, early this morning in Little Rock, Arkansas. And then they sent a load that picked up in Springdale, Arkansas. And then it delivers at 7 a.m. in the morning up in the St. Louis area in one of the suburbs. So I made it here to Rolla, and I don't know, I've been kind of tired all day long, a little bit, and it wasn't quite 7 o'clock yet, but I was kind of tired, and I needed to weigh the trailer, and or, you know, weigh the whole truck, really. Make sure everything was legal. I was pretty sure it was, and it turned out it was, but it's better to be safe than sorry, because sometimes you can be surprised, and it's kind of hard to guess at times. So I stopped here, and I got something to eat. There's a McDonald's. It's a pilot truck stop here at Rolla, Missouri. So I decided I would just hang out here take my break, and then I'll have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I've got another 104 miles to travel. And as I say, the load delivers at 7 a.m. So might as well just stop here. I could have tried to go on, but there was no guarantee. I did find out that the place where the load delivers to has limited parking. So, if the guy told my fleet manager that if I got there after 9 o'clock, there'd be probably no chance of finding a place to park. And so I didn't even try. It was just, I had to stop here, and it was just easier. And as I say, I'll leave here when my break ends. My break should end about, probably around 4 a.m. And then I can head on up that way. So, much warmer. I was in some pretty cold weather when I was up in Nebraska a couple of days ago. It was the coldest, I don't know, I think it did get below zero when I unloaded in North Platte, and I think it was below zero, and then it warmed up a little bit, it was in the single digits, and then it was in the teens, and so on and so forth. And so now that I'm here, it's kind of, I think some warmer air came in last night in Little Rock. It was in the 20, I think it was in the 20, or was it 32? Maybe it was 32, I don't know. I think it was 32. It had been colder earlier. I think it was 32 degrees last night, and it might have gotten a few degrees colder than that overnight. And then today it was up into the 40s. I think I saw as high as 49 degrees, although I will say that it was kind of a chilly 49 degrees because the wind was blowing fairly hard. So anyway, I'll be unloading in the St. Louis area. I think the name of it was Vanita Park. Never had heard of it before, or at least if I had, it's been years. I don't remember that name ever, but it's one of the suburbs, so it must be a pretty small one. Then we'll see where they send me from there. So this morning, I was down there in Little Rock, and most of the people that worked at the the place where I was delivering the load to are black, which is fine. But it was interesting because when I went back in there after the load was unloaded, the light had turned green, and I went back in there for my paperwork. And you had to go in this one room where the, you know, and these guys were all, there were four of them, they were all black, and they were talking, and they were just kind of employees. And there was this spirited discussion kind of going on. There was this, and the one guy was the one that was talking was the one that was kind of agitated, and I just caught part of the story. And apparently there had been this black truck driver somewhere, I'm assuming around Little Rock, and I didn't catch the whole story, but he had the law was holding him responsible for, you know, some sort of an illegal something or other that was in his truck, and it was a sealed trailer, but they were holding him responsible anyway, which they can do. You know, they can hold the driver responsible even if it's a sealed trailer, because once you take off with a load, even if it's sealed and you've never looked inside it, and you're forbidden from opening it up, you're still liable. You're still responsible. But in any case, this guy was kind of emotional about it, and he said. Well, you know, the only reason that this guy is being made an example of, and they know full well that he's innocent, he didn't know what was going on, what was in the back of that trailer. The only reason they're making an example of him is because he's black. Which, that may or may not be, it probably is true, to be perfectly honest, it probably is true. I would probably, I would say probably that's the case. We might not agree on the reasons, but I just kept my mouth shut. And I've realized this before, but I realized something else today. This guy was in, kind of an agitated, emotional state. And in that state, there is no way. Your mind is closed. So if you're sort of in an agitated emotional state, or conversely, that's another way of saying you're lost in your emotions, or sort of enslaved to your emotions, or conversely, if you're kind of lost and or if you're lost in your intellect and you think, oh, I'm Mr. Smart Guy, and there's plenty of people like that that are... They see themselves as intellectual, and they live in their intellect, and they see that their intelligence and their intellect is the key to their greatness, and so on and so forth. And I'm so smart, and I'm smarter than everybody else. In both cases, your mind is closed. In both cases, you cannot see reality. Even if it's right there in front of you, you can't see it. You won't see it. Can't see it. But I would agree that this driver, this truck driver that this guy was talking about, and he was all emotional about, I would agree that probably he was made an example of because he's black. Not to say that, there may be some, there could well be some discrimination going on. And of course, that's what this guy, I'm sure this is what this guy was thinking. But, and if there was, then why the discrimination? What is it? Is it just because his skin was black? No. That's, when you say, well, somebody's being discriminated against because of the way they look, generally it's based on the stereotype. What is the stereotype of the group of people? Because human beings are very bad about that. Once we become emotionally upset, once we resent, in other words, we have a tendency to... our mind sort of takes a snapshot of the scene, as it were. sort of the scene of the crime or the scene of the trauma. And resentment is a trauma to the person that's doing the resenting, by the way. And so our mind sort of takes a snapshot of that. And so that's how stereotypes kind of get started. And then, of course, you have people that kind of fall into the stereotypical externalized behavior. So in the case of the black people, and that's what we're talking about, it's the only reason I bring it up, is in the case of the black people, they've got their own black accent, their own black way of speaking. And of course, that's very important because it revolves around language way more so than it does skin color. It revolves around language, and it revolves around the sort of the black behavior. And there's a kind of a black behavior that's, kind of expected of, of the stereotype. And of course, once people are externalized, then they fall into that, whether they realize it or not. And if they, if they try to get away from that, especially in the case of the black people, they'll start calling them Oreos, black on the outside, white on the inside, Uncle Tom's. They got all kinds of derogatory names. They'll try to ridicule those people with in order to force them back into the stereotype, back into the sort of the accepted groupthink behavior. And unfortunately, the black population in America in general has been sort of ruined, as it were, by sort of coddling from certain, certain elements of the government. You're too stupid, here's the handout. You're too stupid to work, you're too stupid to do anything, you don't have any opportunity, here's the handout. And of course the handout is what just absolutely robs them of any incentive to make something of themselves. And of course they have this resentment that's put into them by their parents. And that's been going on for quite a number of generations. This resentment, you can't get ahead, you're black, the white man has his foot on your neck, and so on and so forth, he's got his boot on your neck, and so, all of that. And so that is pounded into them from the time they're little kids. And the entire identity, the black, quote-unquote black identity, is based around resentment. Sort of the whole stereotype is based around resentment. And then, of course, they end up taking it on. Because once you resent, you absorb your environment. And you're going to absorb, if it's a ghetto environment, that's what you absorb, whether you like it or not. All who sin are slaves. Resentment is a sin. We're born in sin. I know there are people that don't want to believe that, and they think that it's wrong, and so on and so forth. I'm telling you, it's 100% accurate. If you don't like that, stop listening. Go away. So the black behavior, there is a lot of crime in the black community. There is more crime in the black community than there is otherwise. And the reason being, it's not because the black people themselves are somehow inferior genetically. The reason is because of this externalized culture that they have, that literally keeps them imprisoned in this mentality. And so there probably is, unfortunately, you look at a black person and you immediately have this knee-jerk reaction where you think criminal, you think robber, you think drug dealer. And of course that's not fair because not everybody falls into that category, but it just so happens that it's really insidious in this case, because you can look at them, and the way the skin color ends up being associated with the groupthink behavior. And then you may also, the other reason that there may be some discrimination going on is because, you know, why would they want to make an example of someone, you know, someone that actually had a job and was working as a truck driver? Why would they want to make an example of him? To try to keep the others kind of on the plantation, keep them scared that, you might as well just stay on welfare because you'll never get ahead. You'll end up, you get a job and something like this awful is going to happen to you. Government's going to go after you unjustly and you'll end up in prison anyway. So you might as well just stay on welfare. Here, have a handout. So there is discrimination. This does go on, but unfortunately, how can you explain something like that to someone that's in an emotional state? You can't. So that was kind of although I've realized this before, it was kind of I saw it in a little bit different way. And it was a very, kind of an important realization. Because this was more of an obvious kind of an example. But the same thing applies to everyone. And the same thing applies to everyday life. The same principles apply in much more subtle situations. Sometimes people can be in an emotional state, and certainly they can be sort of in a know-it-all intellectual type state, or a mixture of both, and it's usually a mixture of both. They can be in that state and it's not readily apparent that they're in that state. In fact, they could look calm and so on and so forth. The only time you might be able to tell is once they're pressed a little bit. They're put under a little bit of pressure. When someone's in that state, it is not, their mind is closed. And they may think, of course, they think it's open. They think that their minds are open. Often they do. Often people think that their minds, they're really open-minded. When in fact their minds are closed. The lie is the truth and the truth is a lie. The world is backwards. They see the world backwards. They're in a delusion. They're in a delusional state. So trying to argue logic, reason, so on and so forth, with people that are in an emotional state is fruitless. So if you want to get out of that state, because that emotional state, being lost in your emotions and or lost in your intellect, you wonder what's wrong with your life, why is your life so empty? That's the reason, that right there. And it has nothing, it has nothing to do with where you were born, people, places, and things. It has really nothing to do with that, although it appears that it does, because we're all born into an imperfect system. We're all born into, surrounded by imperfect people, places, and things, with a heavy concentration on imperfect people, being our parents and so on and so forth, or lack of them. We're all born into that situation. And so at some point you have to get over, regardless of whether you were abused or you weren't abused, or you felt like you were born into a poor family and you resented that, or so on and so forth. Whatever it is, you have to get over that. You have to come out of that emotional state. As long as you're in that emotional state, as long as you're lost in your intellect, your mind is closed. And in fact, it's open to the wrong things. It's open, it's 180 degrees out of phase. Wrong looks right, right looks wrong. And as long as you're locked into that state, the wrong spirit guides your life. So if you want out of that, the only way out is to become calm, become objective, so on and so forth. I mention it once in a while. If you go to my website, truckertompodcast.com, up at the top, there's a link that says meditation. Click on that link. I've got about four files that are hosted there. They're MP3 files. I would suggest downloading them, putting them on your phone, putting them on your iPod, whatever listening device. You can listen to them on your computer, burn them to CD. But those files will teach you how to meditate. And it's just a very simple meditation, very simple process. And if you find that it helps you, then it's up to you. It's up to you to continue it. You can't just do it once and then everything's, you're fixed. It doesn't work that way. I can't promise it'll help every person, but it will help most. I do believe it will help most people. Most people will get relief right away. But that's not why you do it. You do it because you want to know the truth. You want to find the truth, and that's not an instant process. It's a process that revolves around you kind of coming out of your thoughts, because we're all kind of lost in our emotions, a swirl of emotions, a swirl of thoughts. We're sort of lost in the machinery of our brain. Whatever we are as a point of awareness is sort of lost in the machinery of the brain. And this meditation will prove to you that you, whatever you are, whatever I am, whatever you are not your thoughts. People think that they are their thoughts. You are not your thoughts. You have this separate, you are a separate point of awareness. And you can actually, this meditation teaches you how to bring your attention out of your thoughts and learn how to stay out of your thoughts. And stay out of that, it's just that swirling squirrel cage of things going around and around and around, and they never get resolved. So that's on my website. And as I say, if you find that it helps you, it's up to you to continue with it. So anyway, I've been listening to this. I mentioned it in the last podcast. I didn't have the name of the new audiobook quite right. But the name of it, it's on Audible. It's called Big Bang Disruption, Strategy in the Age of Devastating Innovation. And it's got some very interesting ideas in it. And one of the ideas that sort of struck me, and I think there's a good bit of truth to it, they kind of observed that companies used to find that it was cheaper to do things in-house, because there were these transaction costs. And what they're talking about, transaction costs, before the internet in particular, you go back, let's say, before the internet, it was true that if you wanted to do, let's say, whatever your business was, there was a certain cost involved in finding other people to do business with. So if you needed, let's say you needed something done in particular, so you could go ahead and conduct your business. If you needed something done, then it was, let's say accounting would be an example. Let's say you had, you needed some accounting done to keep your business going. It was a pain to try to, and it was costly, it could be costly to find someone, some other business to do your accounting for you. And this is just an example. And so so that was a transaction cost, part of the cost of doing business. Because there was this search, searching for somebody else or searching for some other company that you could trust to do business with, there was a cost involved with it. And so it was cheaper for companies at that point, before the internet, it was cheaper for them to just go ahead and do things in-house. They just developed the employees and developed the departments in the company within their own company to do these various things. And so they'd have an accounting department, for example. Well, what the internet has done, and what the term is right on the tip of my tongue, exponential technologies. And what they're talking about basically is, if you're familiar with Moore's Law of the memory in the microprocessors, that's still true. Moore's Law is still holding up today with no end, and it's 50 years later after Gordon Moore had sort of made his prediction about the cost of microprocessors and so on and so forth, always diminishing and the thing getting better. That has actually held up, and there's no end in sight, and it's been 50 years. And so one thing you can always be certain is that the cost, any kind of information technology, anything that's got any kind of a chip in it, it's always going to get cheaper. It's always going to get, it's getting faster, cheaper, and that's predictable. And, you can actually predict when it's going to double. It's going to be, whatever it is today, you can predict at a certain point in the future, well, it's going to be that much cheaper. 2 years from now, it's going to be that much cheaper and that much better. And that pretty much holds true because of Moore's, they call it Moore's Law. And so that's, they're calling those, anything to do with information technology and Moore's Law, they're calling those exponential technologies. And so exponential, and that includes the internet, by the way, too. So these exponential technologies, anything that is, and everything is being touched now by exponential technologies. Even if your business has nothing to do with, doesn't have much to do with information processing, you don't think it does, because every business is being touched by these devices. In one way or another. And so, but in any case, that has lowered the transaction costs lower than, so that's why that's led to a lot of outsourcing. And so the outsourcing idea, people say, well, they're getting it cheaper elsewhere. Well, of course they are, because it used to be that it was cheaper to do it in-house than it was to outsource. And it's now, really because of the internet, and this really started, if you look at the development of the internet, the outsourcing thing really started, I first started kind of hearing about it probably around 2000, maybe 2001, maybe a little bit before that. It's when I started hearing about, all kinds of businesses were outsourcing and so on and so forth. And the reason that they were is because the internet was there, and it had already made it possible for them to, it had lowered the cost of doing business, of doing these transactions, these transaction costs. And so that's really where the, this outsourcing revolution started, was because of that. And it is cheaper, and the outsourcing is actually a good thing. I'll tell you what else is a good thing. I think I mentioned it last podcast, is all of these the manufacturing in China. That's a great thing, because that has with all of that going on, that has enabled us to have inexpensive devices. It's enabled the devices to get cheaper and better. Along with the exponential technologies, the price has actually, you know, gone down in terms of, you know, because if you look at it with inflation, one of the ways you can look at prices going up or down is how many man hours does it take to buy something. So, you know, and one of the examples they give in this book, let's say you buy a room air conditioner. Well, back in the 1950s, to buy a room air conditioner, the average American, it cost 300 and something hours worth of work. Whereas now, you can do it, what was it? A room air conditioner, about 10 hours, I think. I might be off a little bit, but about 10 hours worth of work, depending. So, you know, they're cheaper. And the same thing's true with cars, you know. Although, you know, you look at cars and you say, oh, look at these prices, they're ridiculous. It's because our money, you know, at the same time, we've continually corrupted our money. So it's actually quite a good thing that all of this outsourcing is happening. Were it not for the internet, we would, with all this money that we've spent and printed and how we've corrupted our money, we would be destitute. We would be starving. So the very thing that people are cursing at and, oh, the outsourcing and so on and so forth, has actually helped us. That's actually saved us to a very huge extent. So, another thing they mentioned in this book, Big Bang Disruption, they kind of mentioned this in passing. There's a quarry, you know, where you dig rocks out of the ground, or you dig whatever out of the ground, somewhere, and I don't remember what they said the name of it is, but it actually has automated quarry trucks. And so these trucks, instead of having, you know, because you go to most quarries and they've actually got drivers that are driving the loaders and that are driving the, you know, these big giant earth-moving trucks. And so they figured out how to automate that. And it actually works. But we go back, that is, you know, it's a closed system. You know, so in that case, in a query, program a computer to run that truck, and you can have it's a completely closed system, and so then it becomes pretty easy for that to happen. And so there are cases where, if you have a closed system like that, then you can automate it, and the automation will, there might be some bugs in it initially, but the automation will work, because, you know, those trucks in a quarry, they're basically driving it, they're trying to go as fast as they can, and they're just kind of making circles, you know. So they go from, let's say, the hole where the stuff's being dug at, up out of the ground at, and then they take it to, you know, some other place where, you know, it goes into some other process. And then they go back and get another load, and their day just consists of that, you know, kind of making circles within a closed system. And so that can easily be automated. So I would say anything that's in a closed system could really be automated. But again, if you go into, you know, the real world, is not a closed system. And so my job is not in jeopardy anytime soon. Now, if I was working for a quarry somewhere, then chances are within a few years I'd be without a job. Because that probably, you know, in a quarry situation, it probably will be automated. Because if it's feasible and someone's already doing it and it's successful, then it's probably just a matter of time before other companies invest in that technology, and they'll be able to increase their productivity, and so on and so forth. And I think those quarry jobs can, I don't know, I think they probably could be dangerous from what I've seen. So that eliminates jobs that are kind of dangerous, and it increases productivity. So, you know, even though you have fewer people that are working there, it actually is a good thing. Now, of course, you still have to have people that are maintaining that and maintaining those trucks and so on and so forth. So you're still going to have some kind of support staff. And those trucks, sometimes in those quarries that have human beings driving them, their equipment in those quarries sometimes is really old and kind of decrepit. And excuse me, I would think that the thing was automated, that the stuff would have to be in quite a bit better shape in order for that to work right. Because otherwise it would constantly be breaking down. So, but it, you know, automation will work in a closed system pretty successfully. But in the real world, out in the wild, as it were, not so much. Depends on what it is. So, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and cut this off and see if I can't get headed to bed. It's 8 minutes after 8 right now. However, I did get up, what was it? It was about 5:15 this morning is when I got up. And as I say, I've been kind of tired all day, so I'm going to go to bed early tonight, and then I have to get up at 4, get out of here by 4 o'clock. And that's less than 8 hours from now, so I better get a move on it. So, in any case, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.